The 413 Heart Music and Arts Festival at the Stationery Factory in Dalton, Massachusetts is celebrating its third year, bringing an exciting mix of art to the Berkshires. The festival runs this Thursday through Sunday, August 16th through the 19th. We are joined now by two festival participants, and my goodness, aren't they impressive. Michael Dowling is a Berkshire-based playwright and screenwriter. His play Tamarack House is a comedy drama about five men struggling to stay afloat when they discover the rundown boarding house they call home is suddenly put on the market. There will be a stage reading of the play on Saturday, August 18th. Our good friend, our dear pal, Johnny Arion, has a new solo record entitled Driving Friend. He'll headline the 413 Heart Festival on Friday, August 17th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Dowling and Johnny Arion to the program this morning. How are you two?
Very
great.
Excellent. So how did this all come? You're in the area. How does this come about that you become a part of the festival? You say, okay, I'm going to do, in your case, Michael, I have a play. I like it. I would like to do a reading. This seems like a perfect place to do it.
Last year, I had a new play read at the festival when they were trying to. It's the third year they're doing the festival, so they asked me last year, and I did it. I love the space. It's a great performance space, and it went really well. I was really happy with it. So then they asked about doing something again this year, and I said sure. And I had a play that was kind of Berkshire centric. So we cast it, and that's how it came about this year. It's a space you can do live music in, play readings, everything.
So tell us about Tamarack House.
It is a play that's kind of Berkshire-centric. It's a house that I used to drive by called Tamarack House. I've never set foot in it, but it was a boarding house. And then one day I went by, and there was a for sale sign on it, and I just kind of thought, what are those guys going to do who are in there? And so I kind of crafted the play around that. Fun play, I hope. And kind of speaks to the Berkshires in terms of development and these old homes that are getting bought up to turn into second homes or turn into, developments that are coming in. But it's comedy.
Yeah. But it's funny.
Yeah.
And contemporary.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm latching onto something you said about never setting a foot in the place. Was that a conscious decision at some point? Because you could have had the opportunity to set a foot in there if you wanted to, I think.
Right. No, I just didn't. I just let it kind of start my imagination going, and then I didn't necessarily need to go into it. And we got a great cast too.
Well, Johnny, you are going to be performing on Friday night, and this is, you have a new album. So this is an album release show. It's a Driving Friend.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Oh, well, it's a song. It's a song on the album.
Great song.
I'm excited to be playing at the Stationery Factory. I don't know if you've been there or not.
But I have not.
In all places, Dalton, Mass, which is very close to where Sarah Lee and I live.
Where I live, yeah.
And it's a great space. Stephen Sears and the crew have done a great job pulling the community together there. And I'm really looking forward to playing the new songs from Driving Friend on this particular stage. They have an amazing sound system.
Yeah, you're knocked out when you go into this place and see what they did with it. It's a multi-use space, performance space. It's concert space. It's beautiful, and I'm glad that they're trying to bring some vitality to the community in that part of the county.
I assume when you're performing, you like intimate, Johnny.
I like a big space too. I'll have the full band, so
yeah.
We're going to be a little louder, and the space allows for a rock band to do it, but also to break down to the acoustic songs and be strictly acoustic. It serves for that purpose as well. And I saw a beautiful, you did a reading there for a play last year?
Last summer.
And I walked in and watched this play that Michael put on, and it was just an amazing space to watch something like that as well. So it's a multi-purpose venue.
And I saw one live show there a month ago, and it's a great place to see a live show too. So do come out and see Johnny play, because it's a great place to see a live concert.
Given that you are two, you're performing as part of this festival, but you it, it, it this festival is basically showing off what the region has, right? Isn't that what it's doing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a juried art show that's there on Sunday. The Albany Berkshire Ballet is there on the opening, which is Thursday. So they're really kind of calling together people who, yeah, like from the direct kind of region. I mean, I live in Hinsdale, Johnny lives in Beckett, and we found this great place to have, you know, our work be seen. We're very fortunate and hope the place keeps growing. It's terrific.
When I think we've talked about this before, Johnny, of how a new album comes about, but where were you in this of putting this particular album together?
This is, you know, Sarah Lee and I were spending a lot of time in Santa Barbara the last couple of years, and this is an album of a collection of songs that were recorded on an old Studer 2-inch tape machine that I went down to Jackson Browne's studio in Los Angeles and got this 1,200-pound machine and brought it to Santa Barbara. And then I invited my good buddies, I have a band called Dawes, Taylor and Griffin of Dawes, and some, you know, Pat Sansone from Wilco did the string arrangements on the album. And then, you know, recorded it there, and the record came out back in late May.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a lot of touring behind it. But it's really a collection of songs that were recorded on the Studer tape machine. I guess the last time I was here was the U.S. Elevator album.
Right.
And that record had been recorded on the same machine. So I'm actually excited. The machine is headed to the Berkshires, actually. So we'll be setting it up somewhere in the Berkshires soon. But
to do what with it?
To record more
to
songs.
To record more songs. Okay.
To record more songs. Yeah, so if you listen to Driving Friend, you can hear the warmth of the low end in this machine, especially in a Spotify age for what we're going through with digital music. It really gives a low end that you can't.
So how many of these are there out there? Is there just one or?
No, there's probably, you know, it's a good question. I would say probably working, you know, maybe 150 around the world, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
And apparently the one on the West Coast, you have to ship that to the East Coast.
You don't want to know how it's getting here.
So, but it's getting here.
It's actually a play that could. It's a brave New Jersey Studer move.
Two guys driving it across country.
Right.
Driving Friend really is great. And it's terrific when you have, because Johnny and I are close friends too, and I love when I have artist friends who their work's actually really good, so you don't have to make anything up about how it sounds.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to just, yes.
Yeah, well done. Good work, Johnny.
Yeah. No, it's good boy.
It's like when Ray Graff reads you his poetry.
There you go. Like, yeah, I just say, oh, man, Ray, you nailed it. The thing I'm fascinated by is there has to be a sound that you can't get away from there then, right? I mean, there has to be a sound that allows you that you're like, okay, this is how I want to sound.
Yeah, it's you know, you get musicians in a room and you set the microphones up.
Yeah.
And this machine allows them to be who they are, who the band is. I mean, yes, digital provides that, but if you hit a wrong note while you're playing music together, or maybe you slide into a note just a little differently at one section, the tape allows you to make those things. It's like, what is that? And you rewind it, and you're like, oh my God, that's cool. And then you try to like redo that in a digital form. It won't allow you to do that. So it's a very organic approach, and it's a slower process. You know, you everybody's in the room, you listen. You know, with digital, it's a whole different beast. And I love recording acoustic music digitally. I think it's fine, but when you have people in a room and drums and bass and stuff, I think I just can't do anything else.
So when you say it's a slower process when you're actually recording it, because you listen back and there's a live moment.
Well, you have to actually physically rewind the tape,
replay the tape, and then you listen to it, and then you hear what you hear.
Yeah, with digital, you can just skip it around. You know, like it's like, okay, it's just a slower methodical process.
But later on, when you are listening back to it, as the album is further into production, do you notice things that you did not notice in that original playback?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think anytime you're mixing a record, you're gonna stumble across things that are like, oh wow, I didn't hear that then, and hopefully it's good.
Yeah, that's okay, right? That's yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I've become addicted to the sound of it, which is, it could be bad, but here we go.
It's really good.
And for you?
Jackson Brown had nothing to do with, and Wilco had nothing to do with my play.
So the pedigree's a little different, is what you're saying, right?
Just me in a room.
Just you in a room. And when you do work like this, and let's say the show that you did last year, then what do you hope to do with it?
Well, leading up to that, what's great is I operate best with deadlines backed up by the fear of embarrassment. So knowing that you have to get that thing up there, I do a nice new fresh draft of the whole thing. And then that kind of, and maybe this happens with records too, but that kicks me in the pants to begin to get it out in the world again. And you hear from the audience, which is the ultimate note giver, hey, that joke didn't work. I felt it get a little slow there, so you can do a rewrite after it too. And then put the play out into the world and see who may bite.
I ask this question of novelists a lot, but I'll ask it to a playwright, which is, are you comfortable having more than one thing going at a time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
You can multitask on that one.
Yeah.
As far as writing, play, like having several projects.
Well, meaning you have things in various stages of development. I mean, there are writers who say that I have blinders on. I'm going to do this, and if this takes me 7 years, then so be it.
Right.
We'll do that.
Right. So I can be rewriting something, and I mean, there's a screenplay that I have to finish up in short order once this ends, so I can be working on those two things at the same time. Yeah. I think I can compartmentalize.
Although you have kids, so you can.
I have kids too, so
that helps you. Yes. Well, it's the 413 Heart Music and Arts Festival at the Stationery Factory in Dalton, Massachusetts. They're presenting Johnny Urian on 8/17. That's August 17th, better known as this coming Friday. A stage reading of Michael Dowling's Tamarack House is on the next day, Saturday the 18th, and a number of other great events happening all weekend long. You can learn more by going to 413heart, HEART.com. 413heart. That link will be posted along with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. Michael Dowling, Johnny Urian, thank you very much. A great pleasure to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks very much. Have a great weekend. Thank you.